by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Clara Barton, who was the founder of the American Red Cross, understood something very important about forgiveness and choosing the right attitude. Those who knew her knew that she was never one to hold a grudge against anyone. One time, there was a friend who recalled a very cruel thing that had happened to her some years previously, and she seemed to not remember the incident. And the friend said to her, "Don't you remember the wrong that was done to you?" "No," she responded calmly, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." You see, she understood forgiveness. In our scripture, in our parable this morning, there is a passage which is known as the parable of the unmerciful servant. And in this passage, we learn some principles about forgiveness. I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read together verses 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 30 or 21 through 35. I'll give you a moment if you'd like to find the page numbers as we follow along. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." In our sermon series on parables, we're looking at the parables of Jesus, and we find that a parable is a story or a word lesson that gives us some insight into the truth of God and who He is. A parable has generally two meanings. As we've been learning, there is a meaning that is what we're calling a literal meaning, and it's very obvious. excuse me. Anyone who hears that parable will be able to gather the obvious. But the reason Jesus spoke in parables was so that those who were seeking spiritual truth would be able to find it, and it would be beneath the surface, but it had a deeper meaning. And as we have been looking at these parables, I've been sharing just two literal meanings, figuring that, you know, probably anybody that would read these would come up with this. And if you're following along on the outline that is in your bulletin, this is a bugger today. Not working very well. One more. There we go. It says that we are to forgive others frequently. In just a reading of this, Peter says, how many times should we forgive somebody? Seven times? And Jesus expounds on that, and we're going to talk about that. The other thing that we find just in a literal meaning is that sometimes people are unwilling to forgive. Perhaps you know people who are unwilling to forgive. Maybe even you yourself have been wronged in some way and struggle to forgive. Many times people find themselves in situations where it's difficult to forgive, but it's even more difficult when the one who was the offender doesn't even take ownership for what they have done. And so there is some important lessons that we can learn today about forgiveness. And one of those is from our first deeper meaning. This thing is possessed. There we go. The one is from our first deeper meaning, and it says this: we are to forgive others an infinite amount of times. In verse 21, Peter said, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins? And he says, up to seven times. Now, one might say, where in the world did he get that from, right? Why would you say seven times? But the law, the traditional law, required that it was necessary to forgive someone three times. Ever wonder whether that's where three strikes and you're out comes from? And you thought it was just baseball. But Peter, knowing the teachings of Jesus continually said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so while the law taught three times, he said, hey, seven, that's like seemed like a good number, right? But Jesus said, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Or some translations say, seven times 70. The thing that is important is to understand that Jesus said, you must be willing to forgive over and over and over and over and over again. That's not very easy. Many times people offend us. They might mistreat us. And it's very hard sometimes to forgive. What is easier for us is to keep a record. Somehow or other, we walk around with our clipboard and somebody offends us and we make a note and we remember it. They do it, somebody else does it again, and we put another mark behind that person. We know and remember the things that people have done or said or how they have mistreated us. The idea is sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, and many times it's the words that are the most deadly. And we all know that. And it's more natural for us to keep a record. It is unnatural to forgive. It is unnatural to forgive and forget. And then sometimes we find that we're willing to forgive, but then they do it again, and we draw the line in the sand, and we say, that's it. Done with that, right? Isn't that how we really sometimes are? But Jesus said, we must forgive even 70 times 7. I don't know about you, but even if I was trying to keep score, I'd have trouble keeping a record of 490 times that somebody, I would lose track somewhere about you. I probably would. The reality is that we should always be willing to forgive. That means when a loved one, a parent or a child, maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe a relative offends us, we need to be willing to forgive. We need to be willing to let go of that offense and forgive that person. And that's not easy. But there's a principle here that we learn, and we learn why we need to do that. And the second deeper meaning gives us a little insight on that. And it says, God is merciful and freely offers forgiveness. Here, God is, if you would, portrayed as a merciful king. He wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And there was a man that was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's equal to about 70 pounds of gold. In today's society or today's value, that would be many million dollars. But what happened? The man was not able to pay. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children be put into prison until they could pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees. He begged for mercy, and the master took pity on him. He took pity. And in verse 27, it says, he forgave the debt. He canceled the entire debt and let him go. Now think about this. What would you do if someone owed you several million dollars? First of all, you'd probably have a big smile on your face because you knew you had some money coming. But would you let the person go? Would you be able to forgive that entire debt? Would you kind of like maybe look for some kind of security, like, now give me the deed to your house, or give me the title to your cars, or something that would guarantee that you would get something? Or maybe you'd come up with this payment plan, or you'd allow the person to work it off in some way. Some of you might be willing to forgive somebody if they owed you $20 and couldn't pay it. You'd say, well, I saw that coming before I gave you the $20, right? Or maybe you could even forgive somebody $100 or $1,000. But which one of us would be willing to forgive someone several million dollars? Pretty hard. That is a picture of mercy. And you know, my friends, every one of us has that debt. A debt we cannot pay ourselves. And that is the debt that comes because of sin. Bible tells us very clearly that every one of us breaks God's laws. Every one of us, at some point in life, we've broken His commands. And the Bible clearly tells us that there is a penalty for that. And in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." That penalty or that payment of debt that is due is eternal separation from God. And there is nothing that you or I could do to cancel that debt. Absolutely nothing. But in His mercy, God sent His only Son, Jesus, to a cross. Jesus experienced that separation from God as He hung on that cross and He cried out, oh God, why have you forsaken me? Separated from God in those moments on that cross before he died. He paid a debt that we could never pay ourselves. He offers a free gift, it says, of eternal life by placing our faith in his Son, by placing our faith in Christ, believing that he paid the penalty for us simply by faith, completely free. What a picture this parable is of the mercy and the grace that is offered to us through Christ. When we trust him as our Savior, God forgives that huge debt. In fact, he paid it for us through his Son. The third of our deeper meanings is this. We are to forgive others because we have been forgiven. In this parable, the first person was forgiven a huge debt. When one would experience that kind of mercy, that kind of grace and goodness, what do you think their response should be to other people who perhaps owe them something? Well, in this case, it says, when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, he began to choke him, and he said, pay back what you owe me. Now, anybody have any idea what 100 denarii would have been worth? In today's market, it would be worth about 16 cents. Think about that. Today, and you see this, you could drop 16 cents on the floor and probably not even think it's worth bending over to pick it up, okay? We see that a lot, especially with young people. They will not pick up a handful of change. They just will not. But 16 cents and no mercy. Kind of unbelievable, isn't it? Someone who experienced so much mercy and grace, refusing to forgive 16 cents. In this case, the fellow servant fell on his knees and he begged and he said, be patient with me, I will pay you back. And my friends, if that was me, I would think, hey, that person come up with 16 cents sooner or later, right? One would think, right? Even in prison, doing laundry, 35 cents an hour, hey, that wouldn't be too hard to get 16 cents back, right? But instead, he refused. He refused the plea for mercy. And he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. We can be very critical of that man. But sometimes, perhaps, we want someone to hurt as much as we have been hurt. Sometimes, perhaps, we're even guilty of wanting someone to experience a little pain and a little misery before we're willing to even think about forgiving. We might forgive, we may not forget. And sometimes we might even choose to get even. But the scriptures tell us in Ephesians chapter 4, if I forget it, verse 32, that we are to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now I want you to think about this. Do we deserve God's forgiveness? Absolutely not. We do not deserve it. We live in an entitlement age, but we are not entitled to that forgiveness. Not at all. We do not deserve to be forgiven. And yet God in His mercy forgives us. And then says, in the same way that I have forgiven you, you are to forgive others, even when it is undeserved. Forgiveness is giving up our right to get even. Forgiveness is not ignoring that the offense occurred, pretending it didn't happen. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not habitually tolerating offenses. But forgiveness is letting go of that debt. And it is doing so without any strings attached. It is an act of grace. Grace that is demonstrated by our forgiveness because we have experienced forgiveness through Christ. And then there's number four. Number four, deeper meaning, says this. We will experience consequences if we refuse to forgive. In verse 31, it says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. You see, first of all, a lack of forgiveness affected the entire group. There was divisions. There was disunity. In your family, if there is a lack of forgiveness, it affects the unity of your family. In your church, if there is a lack of forgiveness, it affects the unity of the entire church family. It creates a place for division. There are always consequences. When we refuse to forgive in our homes, it affects everyone that lives there. When we refuse to forgive someone at work, it affects everyone that works there. When we refuse to forgive someone in a church, it affects everyone that worships and serves there. And so when we refuse to forgive, we are hurting others and we are hurting ourselves. I've heard people say, well, I can't forgive them, but it's not hurting anybody but me. That's really not true. I don't even think it's possible. Because a lack of forgiveness is like it just spreads and it just keeps spreading. Well, this week I had an opportunity to use some of that spray foam insulation. Had to do some repairs. My son-in-law was helping me do some repairs on my back deck and had to replace actually a portion of the back of my house where the deck had done some damage, and I was putting some spray foam in there. And that stuff just oozes and spreads and expands until it has no more place to go. And that's really how unforgiveness works. It just continues to expand and take up all the space, consuming everything in its way. Well, in this case, it says in verse 32, the master called the servant in. He said that he was wicked, and he said, shouldn't you have canceled the debt in the same way that I canceled yours? And in verse 34, it says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. He was sent to jail not because he couldn't pay the debt, but because he didn't show mercy. And then Jesus adds these words in verse 35. Take a look, if you would, what he says. He says in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Here, Jesus gives us some insight into this parable and into the meaning of it. Certainly, Dwayne isn't going to come and put handcuffs on us and drag us out of here if we refuse to forgive. We're probably not going to be put in a stockade down at Depot Square and be tortured or whatever. But the reality is, a lack of forgiveness really is a torture, generally to ourselves. When we refuse to forgive somebody, we literally rob ourselves of happiness and joy. We rob ourselves of peace and contentment. Sometimes we rob ourselves even of sleep. We create an opportunity for bitterness to grow and spread. And we create an opportunity for Satan to get a toehold in our lives. That is why the Bible clearly tells us that we are to bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God says this, and He is fully aware. He's fully aware of the offenses. He's fully aware of the pain. He's fully aware of whatever went on. But from God's perspective, forgiveness is a necessary step in order to heal, in order to move on with life, and in order to experience God's goodness. The person or persons that we may need to forgive may not deserve it. They may not even be seeking forgiveness, but we still need to forgive them for God's sake and for our own. Today we observe the Lord's Supper together, and this is always an opportunity for us to evaluate our own relationship with God, and it's a time for us to evaluate our relationships with others. God expects us to forgive because He forgives us. And so, as we contemplate the Lord's Supper together, the first question I have is this. We got two at a time. How have you experienced God's forgiveness? Have you experienced His forgiveness? Have you experienced His mercy and His grace? And then, how is forgiveness toward others demonstrated in your life? Are you forgiving them as well? It is possible that we have been rejecting God's forgiveness, unwilling to forgive others. He offers that forgiveness to us freely and without strings attached. It's possible that we have been refusing even to forgive others. Jesus says that we must be willing to forgive because we have experienced His forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to take a moment and just silently and quietly reflect on the parable and the things that we've studied.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.